The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Act 4. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Act 4, Scene 1. A Room in the Castle. Enter King Claudius, Queen Gertrude, Rosencrantz, and Guildenstern.
There's matter in these sighs, these profound heaves. You must translate. 'Tis fit we understand them. Where is your son?
Bestow this place on us a little while.
Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Ah, my good lord, what have I seen to-night?
What, Gertrude? How does Hamlet?
Mad. As the sea and wind, when both contend which is the mightier. In his lawless fit, behind the arras, hearing something stir, whips out his rapier, cries, A rat! A rat! And, in this brainish apprehension, kills the unseen good old man.
Oh, heavy deed! It had been so with us had we been there. His liberty is full of threats to all, to you yourself, to us, to every one. Alas, how shall this bloody deed be answered? It will be laid to us, whose providence should have kept short, restrained and out of haunt, this mad young man. But so much was our love, we would not understand what was most fit, but like the owner of a foul disease, to keep it from divulging, let it feed even on the pith of life. Where is he gone?
To draw apart the body he hath killed, or whom his very madness, like some ore among a mineral of metals base, shows itself pure. He weeps for what is done.
O Gertrude, come away. The sun no sooner shall the mountains touch, but we will ship him hence. And this vile deed we must, with all our majesty and skill, both countenance and excuse. Oh, Guildenstern!
Re-enter Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Friends, both, go join you with some further aid. Hamlet in madness hath Polonius slain, and from his mother's closet hath he dragged him. Go seek him out. Speak fair, and bring the body into the chapel. I pray you, haste in this.
Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Come, Gertrude, we'll call up our wisest friends, and let them know both what we mean to do, and what's untimely done. Oh, come away, my soul is full of discord and dismay.
Exeunt. Scene 2. Another room in the castle. Enter Hamlet.
Safely stowed.
Within.
Hamlet! Lord Hamlet!
What noise? Who calls on Hamlet? Oh, here they come.
Enter Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
What have you done, my lord, with the dead body?
Compounded it with dust, whereto 'tis kin.
Tell us where 'tis, that we may take it thence, and bear it to the chapel.
Do not believe it.
Believe what?
That I can keep your counsel and not mine own. Besides, to be demanded of a sponge. What replication should be made by the son of a king?
Take you me for a sponge, my lord?
Aye, sir, that soaks up the king's countenance, his rewards, his authorities. But such officers do the king best service in the end. He keeps them, like an ape, in the corner of his jaw first mouthed, to be last swallowed. When he needs what you have gleaned, it is but squeezing you, and sponge you shall be dry again.
I understand you not, my lord.
I am glad of it. A knavish speech sleeps in a foolish ear.
My lord, you must tell us where the body is, and go with us to the king.
The body is with the king, but the king is not with the body. The king is a thing...
A thing, my lord?
Of nothing. Bring me to him. Hide, fox, and all after!
Exeunt. Scene 3. Another room in the castle. Enter King Claudius, attended.
I have sent to seek him and to find the body. How dangerous it is that this man goes loose, yet must we not put the strong law on him. He's loved of the distracted multitude, who like not in their judgment but their eyes. And where 'tis so, the offender's scourge is weighed, but never the offence. To bear all smooth and even, this sudden sending him away must seem deliberate pause. Diseases desperate grown by desperate appliance are relieved, or not at all.
Enter Rosencrantz.
How now? What hath befallen?
Where the dead body is bestowed, my lord, we cannot get from him.
But where is he?
Without, my lord. Guarded, to know your pleasure.
Bring him before us.
Ho, Guildenstern! Bring in my lord.
Enter Hamlet and Guildenstern.
Now, Hamlet, where's Polonius?
At supper.
At supper? Where?
Not where he eats, but where he is eaten. A certain convocation of politic worms are e'en at him. Your worm is your only emperor for diet. We fat all creatures else to fat us, and we fat ourselves for maggots. Your fat king and your lean beggar is but variable service, two dishes, but to one table. That's the end.
Alas, alas!
A man may fish with the worm that hath et of a king, and cat of the fish that hath fed of that worm.
What dost thou mean by this?
Nothing, but to show you how a king may go a progress through the guts of a beggar.
Where is Polonius?
In heaven? Send hither to see. If your messenger find him not there, seek him in the other place yourself. But indeed, if you find him not within this month, you shall nose him as you go up the stairs into the lobby.
Go seek him there.
To some attendants.
He will stay till ye come.
Exeunt attendants.
Hamlet, this deed, for thine especial safety, which we do tender, as we dearly grieve for that which thou hast done, must send thee hence, with fiery quickness. Therefore prepare thyself. The bark is ready, and the wind at help. The associates tend, and everything is bent for England.
For England?
Aye, Hamlet.
Good.
So is't, if thou knew'st our purposes.
I see a cherub that sees them. But come, for England! Farewell, dear mother.
Thy loving father, Hamlet.
My mother. Father and mother is man and wife. Man and wife is one flesh, and so my mother. Come, for England.
Exit Hamlet.
Follow him at foot. Tempt him with speed aboard. Delay it not. I'll have him hence to-night. Away, for everything is sealed and done, that else leans on the affair. Pray you, make haste.
Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
And England, if my love thou hold'st at aught, as my great power thereof may give thee sense, since yet thy cicatrice looks raw and red after the Danish sword, and thy free oar pays homage to us, thou mayst not coldly set our sovereign process, which imports at full, by letters congruing to that effect, the present death of Hamlet. Do it, England. For like the hectic in my blood he rages, and thou must cure me, till I know 'tis done, however my haps, my joys were ne'er begun.
Exit. Scene 4. A plain in Denmark. Enter Fortinbras, a captain, and soldiers marching.
Go, captain. From me greet the Danish king. Tell him that, by his license, Fortinbras craves the conveyance of a promised march over his kingdom. You know the rendezvous. If that his majesty would aught with us, we shall express our duty in his eye, and let him know so.
I will do it, my lord.
Go softly on.
Exeunt Fortinbras and soldiers. Enter Hamlet, Rosencrantz, Guildenstern, and others.
Good sir, whose powers are these?
They are of Norway, sir.
How purposed, sir, I pray you?
Against some part of Poland.
Who commands them, sir?
The nephews to old Norway, Fortinbras.
Goes it against the main of Poland, sir, or for some frontier?
Truly to speak, and with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats, 5, I would not farm it, nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate should it be sold in fee.
Why, then the Polack never will defend it.
Yes, it is already garrisoned.
2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of this straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace that inward breaks. and shows no cause without why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir.
God be with you, sir.
Exit Captain.
Wilt please you go, my lord?
I'll be with you straight. Go a little before.
Exeunt all except Hamlet.
How all occasions do inform against me and spur my dull revenge. What is a man if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast, no more? Sure, he that made us with such large discourse looking before and after gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fust in us unused? Now, whether it be bestial oblivion or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the event, a thought which, quartered, hath but one part wisdom and ever three part coward, I do not know why yet I live to say this thing's to do. Sith I have cause and will and strength and means to do't, examples gross as earth exhort me, witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit with divine ambition puffed makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare, even for an eggshell. Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw when honor's at the stake. How stand I, then, that have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let all sleep, while to my shame I see the imminent death of 20,000 men that, for a fantasy and trick of fame, go to their graves like beds? Fight for a plot whereon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough incontinent to hide the slain. Oh, from this time forth my thoughts be bloody, or be nothing worth.
Exit. Scene 5. Elsinore. A room in the castle. Enter Queen Gertrude, Horatio, and a gentleman.
I will not speak with her.
She is importunate, indeed distract. Her mood will needs be pitied.
What would she have?
She speaks much of her father, says she hears there's tricks of the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straws, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it, and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which, as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought, though nothing sure, yet much unhappily.
'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds.
Let her come in.
Exit Horatio.
To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss. So full of artless jealousy is guilt, it spills itself in fearing to be spilt.
Re-enter Horatio with Ophelia.
Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark?
How now, Ophelia?
Sings.
How should I your true love know from another one? By his cockle hat and staff, and his sandal shoon.
Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song?
Say you? Nay, pray you mark.
Sings.
He is dead and gone, lady. He is dead and gone. At his head a grass-green turf, At his heels a stone.
Nay, but Ophelia!
Pray you, mark.
Sings.
White his shroud as